more of Canucks Central with Satyar Shah and Alex Auld on the new home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
Let's bring in Ian McIntyre from Sportsnet.ca into the conversation. Also a part of the post-game show with you and Joey Cameron and Ash Schmaltz here on Sportsnet 650. I'm Mac. How are you today, good sir?
I'm good, and they haven't fired me yet in the post-game show. I keep hoping, but we keep having
you keep back. Giving us your worst, hoping that we'll just give you the axe, but we keep bringing you back. We love it.
I love how
bad you are.
I think you're on to my game.
Hey, you just like to make others better, right, Ian?
That's right. I mean, Alex needs pumped up. You know, he's been through a lot in his career. So my goal when I come on is to make Alex feel good about himself.
So why aren't you helping the Canucks then? Why aren't you making them feel better?
They're beyond my power. There's only so much a human can do. No, they are in a bleak, bleak place, and they're trying to say the right things, and it's not like they're not being truthful when they say they played well enough on that three-game road trip to get something out of it. They were 90-plus shots, but, man, when as a team you're going through this downward spiral for the third straight year, and then individually you're not scoring right across the board, it's really tough to be hopeful when you go into games. And if adversity strikes, then it's that much harder. You know, I think I wouldn't ever say that they don't have a chance to win. It's hard to imagine them, though, mm-hmm. winning enough now to even get close to what they were last year at 69 points in a game like tomorrow against San Jose. If they start well, then for sure they could win that game. But starting well generally means scoring a goal, and they haven't been able to do that in a long, long time.
Hey, Ian, how would you compare this era of the Canucks, the 3 years that have gone by, compared to the era we saw after Bure and Linden transitioning to the West Coast Express era?
Yeah, it's that was actually worse. Mm. And I've been asked about that a couple of times. The season of Keenan, he took over from Tom Rennie, and, you know, the turnstile started to spin on the roster, and there were guys flying in and out of the Canucks organization. And then the next year, where Keenan was fired halfway through the year, replaced by Mark Crawford, Brian Burke was a GM. That was the worst year in Canuck history. Because if you go back and look at that roster, there were still a lot of good players available when the team was awful. I mean, Pavel Bure played for Mike Keenan the first year, mm-hmm. and then refused to show up the second year. But there were a lot of good players on that team that absolutely cratered. And the biggest problem with that team is that Brian Burke and Mike Keenan were basically feuding. Each was trying to, in ways subtle and otherwise, undermine the other. So the whole organization was, for that season, for a brief spell, was dysfunctional. This organization right now, it's not dysfunctional. It's just, you know, failed in to achieve what it has wanted to achieve so far in terms of a turnaround. But there's no issue about, you know, the coach and the GM, or the GM and the president, or for that matter, the president and the owner. And so that's why I think things aren't as bad now as they were then. Plus, if you look at the roster, again, there was more to work with 20 years ago than what there is now.
Yeah, I remember those times. I remember watching from the East, watching the late games, and it was, I don't know, tough times. Because I grew up, especially after 94, I liked the Canucks a lot and watched them quite often, because they were I'd always be happy when it was a Canucks game late on Hockey Night Canada rather than an Oilers or Flames game. And fittingly, I ended up coming here, but it's those were some dark times. Now, I look at the fact
Can I give you a quick anecdote?
Yep, I'd love to hear that.
because I just thought of it. And it sort of is indicative of that season. Canucks went into Toronto for a game. And Mike Keenan had said a couple of times when he was asked about how bad the team was, he said, well, I can only coach the players I have, which is a direct shot at the GM. And so in that game in Toronto, I think they were down. They were either down by two or three. But Keenan pulled the goalie with about 10 minutes to go in the third period on a delayed penalty. He pulled the goalie. And they got some scoring chances. And then he did it again about, you know, a couple of minutes later. And that time Toronto was ready for it, and the Maple Leafs scored an empty netter. So Brian Burke and Dave Nonis, his assistant, are sitting in the management suite in the press box. And Burke says to Dave Nonis, whatever you do, don't react, because every camera in this place is on us right now. And so they didn't react. But that was the level of dysfunction. That, you know, Keenan pulling the goalie with whatever it was, 10 or 12 minutes to go, was basically saying, well, I have no way with this lineup to possibly win this game unless I start doing circus tricks. And it was a direct implication towards Brian Burke and the players who were on the team.
No, I don't think Chris Tanev is any type of circus monkey or anything like that. But do you think that him returning to the lineup could spark the offense? It's hard to believe, but I think more just from even just a confidence point of view, getting a player like that back into the lineup might just say, hey, is everyone else just feeling a little better about themselves?
Well, it can't possibly hurt. Let's put it that way. And I don't know what it'll do for the offense, but any good news on the hockey club these days is an improvement. Any good news today is an upgrade on yesterday and the day before and the day before. So if Chris Tanev plays tomorrow, that's good news. They have missed him terribly. And probably his absence has been underrated because of, you know, the greater injury crisis going on, and then especially the Canucks losing somebody like Brock Besser, you know, that just, you know, overshadows all other stories. But the Canucks have badly missed Chris Tanev. So they'll be better when he comes back, but I think more than that, they've at least got something to feel good about. I don't know how long that'll last, but when, you know, Tanev goes out with him, assuming he's in the lineup when he goes out for warm-up and he's in the dressing room right before the game, that's good news. And guys will feel good about that. And anything that helps psychologically and mentally right now, I think is really important, because at a time like this, not just the losing, but the not scoring, I think there's as much going on mentally as there is physically in terms of standing in the way of the team. So Tanev coming back will help that a little bit.
Hey, before we let you go, Ian, with Evander Kane in town with the San Jose Sharks and the fact he's a free agent at the end of the year, I mean, it's an easy conversation to have. Could he come back home to Vancouver? As far as the Vancouver Canucks are concerned, however, can you see Benning and Linden being interested in Evander Kane, or do you think that ship sailed a while ago?
I think that ship sailed a while ago, and when there was talk about it, it was, I think, very early last season. And Elias Pettersson hadn't been drafted. Adam Gaudette wasn't about to win the NCAA scoring race. The landscape has changed here. And I think apart from anything else, so no matter what you think of Evander Kane, he was a tremendous junior player here. And he goes out and plays hard. But obviously he brings some baggage with him. And I think that this team, with all these young players coming, A, they don't have the same need for Evander Kane, the player, that they did. And you have to keep in mind, if he comes, he's not coming here on a one-year contract.
Right.
Right? He's coming here for 5 years or 6 years or whatever the market will bear. And maybe the market won't bear that for him, because certainly the trade market for Evander Kane wasn't what the Buffalo Sabres thought it was going to be.
Correct.
But there isn't the same need for Evander Kane now with this organization as there would have been 2 years ago. And I think they also are pretty aware of the environment and the culture in the dressing room that they're going to bring all these young players like Pettersson and Gaudette and Cole Lind and others into. So I would be shocked if Evander Kane ended up signing with the Canucks.
Ian McIntyre, always a pleasure, my friend. You can check out your stuff on sportsnet.ca and also tomorrow evening on the post-game show with Alex Auld, Anna Schmaltz, and Joey Kenward after the Sharks and the Canucks play at Rogers Arena tomorrow. So thanks as always, my friend.
Well, it's nice to be on with you guys, and I wouldn't miss that post-game show for anything, unless I could.
Great. Can't wait to have you.
See you, Alex.
See you soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Ian. Sportsnet 650.